Recording in progress.
Good morning. It's good to see you on this lovely, bright, sunny morning. Our announcements have been circulated via the bulletin, both by email and also some paper copies available after the service. Then you'll be aware that I've been mentioning that this afternoon at 3 p.m., we have the first week of what we call our communicants classes. This is a group to find out more about what it means to take communion here in Ballyhenry. I mentioned last week that we've had a huge range of people over the years who've really appreciated and benefited coming along to these classes. I think I mentioned personally, I became a communicant when I was 16, and that maybe gives an idea of a lower age, but we've also had folks right through into their 80s, and that hopefully gives you an idea that this really is something for everybody this afternoon. It'll meet in the committee room, which is just through the Cliftonville Hall, at 3 p.m. this afternoon. Then this week, our arrangements include a midweek gathering. And this week, one of our own church family, Donna, is going to be speaking at the midweek. You may remember that Donna has been doing a part-time course in Belfast School of Theology over the past year. And Donna's going to be sharing some reflections with us out of that time at the midweek on Wednesday evening. Martin is going to come and highlight an event that's coming up.
Morning, everyone. As you know, we're involved with Exile Cambodia, so on behalf of Exile Cambodia, this is just an announcement of a concert that's being held. All the work that's done in Cambodia is supported through voluntary donations. So we do two or three fundraisers a year. There's a concert coming up with a local Christian singer-songwriter called Brand Houston, which is on Friday the 8th of May at 7:30. Tickets are on Eventbrite, so you can book it directly. If you're not sure if you want to come or not and you want to just turn up on the night, you may well get in at the door, assuming that there's tickets left, which there are at the minute. But all the money from that will go towards supporting Mark, Liz, the staff and the kids in Cambodia. So if it's your cup of tea, and some people in the congregation know Brand Houston and have said he's really good, so if it's your cup of tea, you like live music, please come along to Willowfield. Thank you very much.
Martin, thank you. In Psalm 20, we read these words. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So let us worship God as we join together in the words of our opening praise, Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plenteous.
join together in prayer. Father God, you have brought us to this time and to this place. Moments of quietness after all that has been in this past week. Moments to reset and recalibrate as another week stretches out ahead of us. Father, we begin with worship, lifting our eyes to you. You're the maker of all things. Your ways are beyond our understanding and your paths beyond tracing out. Father, forgive us for times when we have lived as if we were the center of all things. Forgive us for times when we have lived with our eyes far from you. We come here to return. To return in repentance and in trust. To return needing many things and placing our trust in you. Lord Jesus, you promised your disciples that when they would gather in your name, you would meet with them. Our hearts long for that experience of your presence today. And so we offer this time together to you. Holy Spirit, breathe life into our gathering. Encourage, strengthen, comfort, correct. And do among us and within us what is for our good. Lead us to Jesus. We pray. In his name, amen. Boys and girls, shall we meet at the front? Good to see you all. It is, isn't it just lovely, all this sunny weather? Isn't it just great? It really, really is. So, I want you to imagine this morning that I'm going some places, okay? So I'm going somewhere. Now, if you know where I'm going, put your hand up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Aaron this microphone, and he will bring the microphone over to you, and you can shout in, or not shout, say into the microphone where you think I'm going, okay? So, I want you to imagine I'm going somewhere. So, where do you think I might be going? Where do you think I might be going with a bag on like this? Where do you think I might be going with a school bag on like this? Yeah, say in the microphone.
School.
School. I would be going to school. And why would I be going to school? Why do you go to school? You go to school to learn things. Okay? So I might be going to school. Now, let's see where else. Somebody else, where do you think I might be going if I was going around with all this stuff here?
The shop.
The shop. I might be going to the shop, and if you see me going out of Tesco, one of these up my jumper, you'll know how I got it. Kindly granted. I might be going to the shop. And why do you go to the shop? I mean, why? You don't just go to the shop. Why do you go to the shop? Anybody else? Yeah, what do you think? Why do you go to the shop? Yeah, go ahead, Aaron. Samuel knows. Yeah. What do you think? Samuel there. Go. What do you think? Why would you go to the shop?
To buy things.
Yeah, to buy things. Maybe to get something for your breakfast. That's why you would go to the shop. So, you might go to school to learn things. You might go to the shop to buy things. Let's see another one. Where might you go If you're maybe on one of these and you were going out, and you were going out maybe in the car, and then you arrive somewhere, you park, and where might you go with one of these? What do you think? Yeah, Aaron, go ahead, down the back.
Skate park.
You might go to the skate park if you have a skateboard, or you might go to the park to go on your bike. That is right, Harry. You might go on your bike to the park. And why do you go in the park? Well, you go in the park to play and to enjoy things there. Didn't have time to change this morning. Where might you go if you had all this stuff here on? Can somebody at the front remind me to take us off? Because I nearly forgot last week with the goggles. Where might you go if you had all this stuff on? Yeah?
The swimming pool.
You might go to the swimming pool, that's right. And why do you go to the swimming pool? You go to the swimming pool to swim. Now, here's the question. Right. Here's the question. Where are we this morning? Where are we? We're in church. Here's a question for you. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? Yeah? Yeah, turn in the microphone. Go ahead, Aaron.
To know about God.
To learn about God. There's a line in the Bible where Jesus was speaking to his friends. And he said something that helps us to understand why we go to church. Nadia is going to come and read us a line from the Bible. This is from a book in the Bible called Matthew, chapter 18, and it's verse 20. Nadia, do you want to go down one step, actually, because you're way up above the microphone? You read out. Now listen, these are the words of Jesus, and they are words that help us to understand why we come to church.
Where two or three gather together because they are mine, I am there among them.
Nadia, thank you very much. That's brilliant. You can sit down. Jesus said, where two or three people gather together because they are mine, because they belong to Jesus, Jesus makes a promise. He says, I'm going to be there with you. Stand up one wee minute and have a look around. Stand up, boys and girls, one wee minute. And just have a look around. Now, there's lots more than two or three people here this morning. But there's lots of people here this morning who follow the Lord Jesus. And his promise to us is that when we gather together, we're not only meeting with each other, but we're meeting with him. And that is really, really special. And that's a great reason to come to church. We come to church to meet with other people who are following Jesus, but we also come to church to meet with him. And that's why coming to church is such a brilliant thing to do and such an important thing to do. So you remember that. Aaron, thank you for your help. Nadia, thank you for reading. And we're going to sing a song together now. It's called Ask, Seek, Knock.
Knock, knock, knock. belly, and this is what it says to me. It tells me that I'm never ever alone. I'm learning how Jesus came down to us and gave us rest. Without a doubt, the best friend you'll ever know. Our God knows exactly what I need, so I remember that.
Just to mention, I know some of you have Access NI forms with you this morning, and those will be processed on the stage room, which is just off the Cliftonville Hall, immediately after the service. So if you're able to go through there, we're now at the stage where we're sort of sealing all this up, and really appreciate those of you who have still forms to return doing that. So as I say, you can take those to the stage room just after the service. That question, why do you come to church? It's an interesting question in its own way. I know there are some of you here this morning, and 6 months ago, church, being in church on a Sunday morning wasn't part of your life. And if somebody was to say to you, why do you go to church? You could answer that because it's a decision that you've sort of made relatively recently to start coming to a place like this. But for many of us, and I include myself in this, if you've been going to church pretty much all your life, and somebody says to you, why do you go to church? Your immediate reaction could be, well, I just do. And if you think about it, that's not really a great answer, because there is so much more to it. And we've already touched on it in that line that Nadia read for us. I came across a short video during the week. It's entitled Together. And we're thinking this morning about this theme of growing together. And we're just going to watch this now. It's a little lead-in to what we're going to be thinking about later.
Gathered.
Welcome.
Celebrated.
Restored.
Gathered together.
Encouraged.
Supported.
Loved.
Reminded who God is.
Hearts awed by His majesty.
Eyes seeing fresh.
The wonder of grace.
Thankful for His awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am
and all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
Sent.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, every time we gather in this way, and every time we close our eyes and bow our heads, we acknowledge that we cannot do life on our own. We are weak. You are strong. We are shaky. You are unchanging. We are powerless. You are powerful. Father, we pray for our world. We continue to pray for the countries in the world where the most people live. This morning, we pray for the country of Nigeria, a vast, complex, diverse, and deeply troubled nation, home to 237 million people. Father, we pray that you would teach, equip, and protect all who are disciples of Jesus in that vast land. Help your church there to grow in knowledge of the truth and in a daily experience of your provision, especially in regions of the country where to gather with one another in your name is a very dangerous thing to do. Lord, we pray for mission. Earlier, we were reminded of the continued work of Eggshell, a work close to the hearts of numerous people here who have seen and shared in this work at first hand in Cambodia. Lord, may this upcoming music evening build and deepen support for Eggshell, and may it be a blessing to many. Father, we pray for our church family as some of our organizations move towards the end of their annual programs. We thank you for all who lead and serve within this congregation, and many who have done this across many, many years. Build an ethos here in Ballyhenry where serving together brings encouragement and support and a sense that we are doing something together that really matters now and in eternity. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. You know and you see us. You hear the cries of our heart. Father, in the stillness, we rest in your strong arms. We abide in your love. We lay the things that we do not know and the things that would trouble us deeply at your feet. Lord, we need you. And we lift up those who are precious to us, who need you most at this time. Do not be afraid. As we open our eyes and lift our heads, may we do so refreshed in you. And all we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together our next hymn. Again, it's a hymn that lifts our eyes to who God is. Holy, holy, holy. And after this, our young people, first to third form, will leave for Bible class. This morning we come to the fourth and final talk in a short series entitled Growing on the Front Line, and our title for this morning is Growing Together. I want to show you a number of pictures. I know that quite a few of you enjoy your sport. Here's a picture of someone playing snooker. Here's a picture of someone throwing darts. Here's a golfer. here is a boxer. What do all of these people have in common? These people are all involved in an individual sport. I came across this definition during the week. An individual sport is an activity where participants compete alone, without teammate assistance, placing full responsibility for performance on the individual. Let me show you another set of pictures. Here are some people playing football. Here is a game of ice hockey. Here is a picture from the rugby pitch. Here is a game of hurling. So what do all these people have in common? Well, these people are not playing on their own. Each of these pictures show people involved in a team game. Again, here's a definition. A team sport is defined as an activity where a group of individuals work together toward a shared goal. Let me ask you a question. If you are a Christian, how do you think of your Christian life? Do you think of your Christian life as something that you do alone? Or do you think of the Christian life as something you do as part of a team? I want to begin this morning by reading together from Matthew's Gospel. This takes us to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, this is on page 968 of our Bibles. This is God's word. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee. They were preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Here's an account of Jesus calling his first disciples. Now, this short passage does not teach us everything we need to know about discipleship. It's a basic story. It's a foundational story. It's the kind of story I visualize from one of my very first children's Bible story books. But I want to suggest to you that here we learn two foundational principles about what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The first principle is this: the life of discipleship begins with a personal response to Jesus. Look at verse 18. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. Come follow me, Jesus said. So here's two brothers, they're individually named, and when Jesus called them, they each had a personal decision to make. And that personal decision was a personal decision to do with them and to do with Jesus. Would they say yes to following Jesus? Jesus did not say to them, tell me this, do you believe in God? Jesus did not say to them, tell me this, do you have a personal faith? Jesus did not say to them, are you the sort of person who ever goes to church? No. Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me." And they could say yes, or they could say no. That decision to follow Jesus or not to is a personal decision. And if you picture those guys at the side of the lake, there's only one way you can answer it, or only two ways you can answer it. You can either say yes and you start to follow him, or you can say no and get on with your own thing. There's no kind of, not really sure. It's a yes or no question. And that's why we sometimes talk here in church about making a personal commitment to Jesus. It's why when we receive people into communicant membership here in church, that they come to the front and they personally answer questions about their personal faith. So let me ask you that question today, not for the first time, but it's a question we keep coming back to. Have you made that decision to follow Jesus? I know many, many of you have. But if you've never personally responded to the call of Jesus, I want you to see that this is the big entry-level question that's always on the table. Let me encourage you, this is a personal decision that you can make as he calls you by name. But the second foundational principle is this. The life of discipleship. But I've hit the wrong button. The life of discipleship is lived out in the company of other people. Jesus called Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. Then, verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So do you see what's happening here? You have four individuals, you have four individual responses, but immediately Simon, Andrew, James, and John discover that what they have just become part of is not just an individual relationship where they will follow Jesus on their own, but they have become part of a group of disciples who will live, learn, make mistakes, serve, and follow Jesus together. Jesus doesn't say to Peter, "Peter, look, if you want, I'll spend parts of the next 3 years just with you one-to-one. Don't worry about the others. You just come and follow me." No, he says to Peter, "Come and follow me." And then immediately he says, "Look, have you met James? Have you met John? They're all going to be following as well." To borrow from an earlier illustration, following Jesus is not an individual sport. Following Jesus is a team game. Last week, we used the method of a character study to help us understand an aspect of discipleship. This morning, I want to take a different approach, doing what you might call a word study, or to be more accurate, taking a short phrase and tracing its use through the New Testament. The phrase in question is the phrase, "one another." Those words placed together, "one another," appear in 66 different verses spread across 19 different New Testament books. This is a Bible phrase. These are relational words. These are words that take us out of ourselves, and these are words that connect us with other people. As we seek to develop in our own understanding and experience of what it means to grow as disciples of Jesus, we're going to look at five different places where this phrase is used, spotlighting five different aspects of discipleship. The first thing we learn is that Jesus calls us to be committed to one another. This takes us to Romans chapter 12, and this is on page 1139. Romans 12, verse 10, page 1139, where we read this. "Be devoted to one another in love. honor one another above yourselves. Those words get us moving in the right direction when it comes to how we think about church. Church isn't an event that we attend. You know the way you might go to a concert or a show in somewhere like the Ulster Hall or the waterfront? Neither is church something that we sign up for and then we go when it benefits us or when it suits us. You know the way you might go to the gym. For the Christian, for the growing disciple, church is very different from those kind of things with which we might voluntarily associate ourselves. Christians look on coming to church as an outworking of their commitment to each other. So when we prioritize being here on a Sunday morning, we say to the other people around us, being with you matters to me. We have been scattered during the week, but gathering here matters to me because being part of this church family matters to me. And the Lord Jesus calls us to be committed to one another. But secondly, Jesus calls us to encourage one another. Let me show you a picture. This is a guy called Roger Carswell. Roger is an evangelist. He writes tracts, some of the little leaflets that we would give out here from time to time. I remember doing some work with Roger quite a number of years ago, and he had a line that I've always remembered. He said this. He said, "Be gentle with people because you don't know what they are going through." You walk into church on a Sunday morning. Somebody sits down beside you. Or you stay for a cup of coffee and you see somebody you don't really know standing in front of you in the queue. When we gather together in this room, you cannot know, you do not know, what other people in this room have been going through or are going through or will be going through. But you can know what they need. What do they need? Turn to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. This is on page 1167. Paul here is writing to real Christians in the city of Corinth. So what do these Christians in Corinth need as they gather together? Well, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, Paul writes this. Encourage one another. Now I turn to 1 Thessalonians. That's on a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians is on page 1188. Now again, what I want you to see is this is Paul writing, but he's writing to a very different church, a very different group of people, living in a very different city. But he says this, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. Friends, I want to encourage you to encourage each other. But I also want you to recognize that line, just as in fact you are doing. As a family, we've been here 18 years. My experience of being part of this place is that this is a consistently encouraging group of people to be among. And I want to encourage you to keep on encouraging one another. We've experienced that often in our own lives, and I know so many of you have experienced that from being part of Ballyhenry. So never underestimate the power of a smile, of a kind word, of a listening ear, of a wee message that you send to somebody, or a phone call. In this place, and reaching out from this place as we gather here Sunday by Sunday. Remember that line of Rogers, be gentle with people. You don't know what they're going through. Encourage one another. Build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. Jesus calls us to be committed to one another. He calls us to encourage one another. But thirdly, Jesus calls us to bear with one another. This takes us into the book of Ephesians. And this is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. This is on page 1175. So again, this is, as it happens, the Apostle Paul, but he's writing again to a different group of Christians, a different church, different city, different issues. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If following Jesus is something that we do together, and if growing as disciples is something that we do together, you don't have to have been around long to spot a potential snag. When people start engaging with one another, when people start being around one another, it's not long until you bump into somebody and you think, I don't really like that person. Or you think, I don't really get on very well with that person. There's a parallel that comes to mind. Whenever our children were very young, they used to go to a day nursery. And on certain days during the week, I would go to pick them up. And I would stand at the gate with other parents. And I did that for the best part of 10 years. But the dynamic was such that you never got further than smiling at people, nodding at people. Hello, how are you? 10 years of being in the one place, but never really engaging with people. I get on great with all of those people. Because we never said anything more than, hello, that's a bad day, isn't it? But once you start to engage with people in any environment, it does start to become more complicated relationally. If you're part of a sports team, if you're part of a workplace, if you're part of a family, you understand that. And so if we're going to engage with other people in church, we're going to anticipate that this is going to be something we're going to have to work at. The more moving parts you have here within a church family, the more people you have within a church family, the greater the temptation is simply to stick to your own group of friends, because that's easy. Not to bother with people who you don't know. Not to bother with people who you don't think you will get on well with. Just to keep yourself to yourselves. But the message of the Bible is that any church family, God is creating something that is living. He's creating something that is growing. He's creating something that is organic. And so you cannot anticipate that your relationships within the church are just going to be frozen in time. And God's creating something that goes beyond natural friendship. God is in the business of creating a unity, Ephesians 4 verse 3, that is a unity of the Spirit. A humble, gentle, patient attitude to one another draws us out of ourselves as we discover a togetherness that is different and richer and more embracing than anything that human ties can create. You might have heard me use this quote before, but it's a good one. This comes from the Baptist Bible teacher and writer, Don Carson. He writes this. He says, what binds us together is not common education, common race, common income levels, common politics, common nationality, common accents, common jobs, or anything else of the sort. Christians come together because they have all been loved by Jesus himself. Be committed to one another, encourage one another, bear with one another. But Jesus also calls us to forgive one another. We're still in Ephesians. We're looking here on down to verse 32 in chapter 4. Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Relationships are hard. The Bible teaches that. And the Bible illustrates that. So the Bible doesn't say, oh, sometimes relationships can be difficult. The Bible assumes that relationships are difficult. Right from the very opening chapters of the Bible, you find people in relationship with each other who are finding it difficult to be in relationship with each other. Read the Gospels and you meet a group of people, the original disciples, and they find it difficult to get on with each other at a point. So finding bumpiness in relationship is not a point to panic, but it's a point to go back to our Bibles. Friends, a church family can only grow together if we have the facility to forgive each other when things go wrong. When things are said or things are done that could easily compromise or even destroy relationships with one another. And church families, like biological families, can easily become places where past wrongs can be remembered and rehearsed and held on to for a very, very long time. But forgiveness, real forgiveness, is possible, not in our own strength, but as a response to God's forgiveness through which we have been saved. And this isn't easy, but if we're going to mature in our discipleship, it's something we've got to be up for. The easy way would be to say, look, whenever you come into church, we're going to reintroduce social distancing so you'll not have to sit beside anybody. And let's see in a year how everybody gets on together. That's not what we're doing. We want to be together. And we want to not be afraid of being together. Be committed to one another, encourage one another, bear with one another, forgive one another. One more. Jesus calls us to spur one another on. This time we're into the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1208. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians who were finding life to be really tough. When life is tough, or the surrounding culture is against you, or you have things going on in your life or family that are really weighing on you, it can be easy to feel that you are withering as a disciple. It's into the middle of that kind of situation that Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25 land. Listen to this. Let us consider, so that word means let us think this through, how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. At the beginning of this talk, we asked the question, how do you think about your Christian life? Do you think about your Christian life as an individual sport where you are competing alone without the assistance of others and all the responsibilities on you? Or do you think of the Christian life as a team game where you function as part of a group working together towards a shared goal? Friends, the older I get and the more I go on in ministry, the more I grow in a conviction that we are not made to follow Jesus on our own. It's not how it works. And I want to suggest to you that the teaching of the New Testament is that you cannot follow Jesus on your own. We need each other. Of course, by definition, this morning I'm speaking to a particular group of people. I'm speaking to a group of people who have prioritized and chosen to be here. And so, at a very basic level, I want to encourage you And I want to encourage you through the changing scenes of life to keep on making choices that mean you can be here. I think we find that, again, just going through those different seasons of life, the things that could knock you out of a pattern of regular church attendance, they come and go, they're different. The things that stop a 15-year-old coming to church are usually different than the things that stop a 72-year-old from coming to church. But the challenges are always there, and as we continue to live in a culture that does not factor in the fact that Christians see it to be important to gather together on a Sunday, the challenges grow. But I want to encourage you to believe that this is a place that is worth fighting for in your diary. This is a place that is worth prioritizing, because you can't follow Jesus if you're going through week by week by week and you're not gathering together with other disciples. And the thing is, as we've been saying this morning, they can't follow Jesus without you. We do this together. We need each other if we're going to keep growing and keep growing. If we're to live faithful and fruitful lives for Jesus on our front lines, we need each other. The pull of sin, the draw of a culture that is so individualized in its value system, whispers into the mind of the Christian, oh, look, you can have Jesus on your own terms, and you can follow him in a way that just suits you, and you don't have to worry about other people. But I believe the Lord Jesus himself gently but firmly says this is not how it works. He knows how it works, and his way is always the way that leads to life. I am so thankful for you. And may we grow as disciples gathered in this place and then scattered from it. Disciples who are learning to be committed to one another, to encourage one another, to bear with one another, to forgive one another, and to spur one another on, all for the glory of the Lord Jesus, who has called us and who calls us to follow him and to grow together. As we conclude this morning, we're going to do one more thing. One thing, another line that I didn't actually focus in on this morning, but it is in there, it's in the book of James, is that Christians are also told to pray for one another. I'm going to do this quietly, so don't worry, nobody has to say anything out loud. Not looking for anybody to say anything out loud, but we're going to take just a moment. And I want you, without freaking them out, to look to the person on your left. So don't do that, or you'll really just do that, okay? So just identify the fact that there's somebody sitting to your left. And if you're at the end of a row, then there's somebody to your left. And if you're sitting at the edges, you're going to have to be really creative, because you might have to imagine somebody who's way over there, okay? That might be somebody who you know really, really well. It might be somebody and you don't even know their name. That's okay. Now look to the person on your right. In the quietness, we're going to take a few moments to pray for one another. Just quietly, not saying anything out loud. And that might be somebody and you know all kinds of things about them. And it might be somebody and you know nothing about them. Don't worry, the Lord knows who they are. In the quietness, let's pray for one another. Lord, it is not an accident that we are together this morning. This is your way of doing this, following Jesus together. Lord, in the quietness, we pray for the person sitting to our left. Lord, in the quietness, We pray for the person sitting to our right. Lord, help us to grow, and help us to grow together. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a wee thought. What about after the service, send to somebody, do you know something? I don't know your name. I'm such and such, and just send hello. Let's conclude as we sing together the piece, O Praise the Name.
Jesus!
really good to be together. Do let me remind you of the opportunity, 3 o'clock this afternoon, if you'd like to know more about communicant membership. I realize some of you are heading on to other things. Thank you for being here. But for those of you who are able to stay around, there's lots of tea, coffee, and biscuits and juice ready to go. And do take that time just to be together and to stay around after our service. He's often away preaching other places on a Sunday morning. Johnson's here this morning. Let Johnson go and get the sun, and he can stand at the door and shake hands with you this morning, and I'll give you an opportunity to say hello to him. And but let me just pray. So Lord, we thank you for bringing us together here this morning. We pray for those who have not been able to be here, and we pray that you would indeed send us away from here having been encouraged and having had opportunity to encourage others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.